It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Our once thriving planet and all life that is dependent on it is under siege. The following message was sent to me yesterday by the producer of a major East Coast radio broadcast. Quote, a new study argues that climate-induced collapse is now inevitable. The paper is so upsetting that academic journals refused to publish it, end quote. The title of the science study is, quote, Deep Adaptation, A Map for Navigating Climate Tragedy, end quote. The study highlights the inevitable near-term ecological-induced societal collapse that is upon us. Again, academic journals refused to publish the study because it was, quote, so upsetting. So here is yet more proof of the ongoing effort of so many in academia to serve those in power by helping to hide what is unfolding from the population until the last possible moment, which means and makes what is coming inevitable. If we knew and could alter our course, perhaps we could change the outcome, but unless or until we know, we cannot. For the record, as dire as the conclusions of this new study are, it does not even include any acknowledgement of the ongoing climate engineering reality, which, mathematically speaking, is the greatest and most immediate threat of all, short of nuclear cataclysm. For those that do not yet see it or understand it, or perhaps are just not yet willing to face it, the train of our collective realities is completely off the rails and careening to the bottom of the canyon. From catastrophic and unprecedented wildfires to so-called flash freezing and newly named frost quakes, to record cold temperatures that radically rebound to record highs, flash droughts, record deluges, how many are still trying to tell themselves that nothing's wrong? How bad does it have to get before the majority of the population is willing to investigate and face reality? Earth's life support systems are collapsing. Climate engineering is further fueling this scenario. Climate engineering is not only completely derailing the planet's life support systems, the climate engineering fallout is completely contaminating the entire biosphere. There is also the extreme and rapidly increasing radio frequency microwave transmission dangers, the most powerful of which is directly related to the climate engineering operations. To those that don't yet understand the dire dangers posed by bombarding the entire planet with microwave transmissions, please, please investigate. Please help us to expose the dangers of 5G and to halt that. So often I hear this statement regarding the climate engineering assault and the threats it poses. Quote, why would they do this to themselves? End quote. First, before answering this question, as it needs to be answered, I wish to express my most sincere and undying gratitude to all those that have summoned the courage to face the darkening horizon and to do what they can in this epic battle for the greater good that must be waged. This being said, there are, unfortunately, huge segments of society that have chosen total denial over verifiable truth. With that in mind, again, in regard to the so often asked question of, quote, why would they do this to themselves, let's consider this question in response. Why are we, collectively, willing to do this to ourselves? Consider that those in power could not do what they do without a majority of the population either being willing to support the insanity or to pretend it isn't happening, and thus, by such passivity, facilitating the insanity. As the proverb goes, we have seen the enemy, and he is us. Countless times I've heard the statement, quote, there is nothing we can do, from individuals that never even took the time to consider or investigate what they could do to make a difference for the better. Here's the bottom line. If we collectively have any interest in surviving much longer on a rapidly dying planet, we must prioritize. Mathematically speaking, the global climate engineering weather warfare assault is the greatest and most immediate threat we face collectively, short of nuclear cataclysm. Exposing and halting the climate engineering insanity should be our top priority, and we must never forget this. Again, we are the ones we have been waiting for. If there's any chance in turning the tide, it's up to us. Power structure orchestrated political theater continues to distract many, unfortunately, as the planet descends into an abrupt climate collapse scenario. But increasing percentages of the population are, in fact, waking up. The weathermakers have just carried out an extreme and highly sensationalized winter weather event in regions of the Central and Eastern North American continent. But consider this. The highly hyped record cold is going to rapidly rebound to record highs in the exact same regions. And what are the weather makers scheduling for the West Coast? The exact reverse scenario, from record highs to chemically ice-nucleated cold. How much longer can the web of life sustain the highly toxic climate engineering assault? What other assaults against populations are being waged at this very moment? How will those in power keep populations distracted until the last possible moment before total collapse? Stay tuned. We'll fill in some blanks. After a few short broadcast announcements, I'll cover breaking headlines that the corporate media weapon of mass distraction is doing its best to hide from populations. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 182 for February 2nd, 2019. This is a commercial-free news program brought to you by GeoengineeringWatch.org and paid for by GeoengineeringWatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 AM to 7 and now Sunday mornings from 6 a.m. to 7 as well. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're aware of any radio station that may be willing to pick up the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, please let us know. We'll gladly provide the downloads of our broadcast to other stations for free. Our only goal is to sound the alarm. On this note, Global Alert News is now being broadcast in New Mexico and Arkansas recently, as well as other locations. My deepest gratitude to the activists and individuals that have accomplished this. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Jim Fair Event, staunch ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Started yesterday, ends tomorrow, Roseville, California, at the grounds. If you're there to pick up free Geoengineering Watch materials from the Geoengineering Watch awareness booth that's at every Jim Fair location, please tell the ticket person why you're there. They'll let you into the event for free. Please help us to distribute these materials. Please help us to sound the alarm. The next Jim Fair event will be at the Santa Barbara in Santa Barbara, California, February 15th through February 17th at the Earl Warren Showgrounds. Check the Jim Fair site for future events. Please, please help us at these events if you're interested in donating your time to help man the Geoengineering Watch booth at some of these events. Please let us know and we'll give you details on that. Final announcement on February 7th, 2019, 4 p.m. That's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, a climate engineering event will be held. The name of the event is Consequences of Climate Change and Climate Engineering. The goal of the event is to discuss current climate status and the destructive nature of climate engineering. The presentation will contain information on current climate scenarios and a showing of the documentary Hacking the Planet will occur. A discussion and Q&A will take place afterward. I'll be Skyping into the event for that discussion. You can find further details on this event in the comments section for this broadcast post at geoengineeringwatch.org. Again, the Spanish section, growing Spanish section with many translations on geoengineeringwatch.org on the upper left of the home page. My deepest thanks to Ludovico and Pablo in South America for their help with making this happen. We need to reach everyone on the planet as soon as we can. Please help us to circulate this data. Moving into headlines, here's a few headline shorts, something that can be followed up on after this broadcast because I have much to cover. From multiple sources, the European Union approves U.S. soybeans for biofuel production. So while much of the world starves, wealthy first world nations have the audacity to use food to fill our gas tanks. How long do any of us think that can continue? Another headline, LG Electronics' fourth quarter profit plunges as rivals crowd TV business. These are some of the headlines that we don't really see much here, do we? Because we're told America is going to be made great again and somehow the world is going to magically continue on the current course of omnicide and that somehow that can magically be kept going because of the god of technology. Not the case. We need to focus on reality. More headlines, shorts. Caterpillar stock slides on profit miss. Another headline. Tesco may cut thousands of fresh food and counter jobs. Another headline. AT&T to cut jobs in weaker business units. Another headline. Copper industry carnage. The worst is yet to come. Another headline. Italy slides into recession. Darkening outlook for Europe. Another headline. Europe stays in gloomy mood as Germany slashes its 2019 outlook. Another headline, Big Six energy firms cutting 900 jobs to save costs. Another headline, Tesla job cuts include more than 1,000 workers in California. Two more headlines to go. Here's one. Here's how hard China's slowdown could hit global economic growth. And finally, millions of Americans flood into Mexico for health care. The human caravan you haven't heard about. These are just samples of what mainstream media doesn't tell us. And even though some of us are trying to expose the news that we need to know and we're not being told, what is the power structure controlled social media doing? Let's consider this headline report. YouTube to curb recommending, quote, conspiracy videos. From that report, video network YouTube responded to critics who have long called on Google, the Google company, to clean up its recommendation engine and not offer, quote, conspiracy videos in suggested plays. In a blog posted Friday, YouTube said it will begin to reduce recommending, quote, borderline content and content that could misinform users in harmful ways. What does this mean? It means YouTube has been told to get rid of anything that disputes the official narrative of total lies. That's what it means. I.e., completely deleting geoengineeringwatch.org from a search of the geoengineering term from the top of the list of the on the first page to being completely gone. That's just an example. Across the board, this is happening. And the cowards and tyrants that work for these social media companies that are carrying out these kinds of orders, take a good long look in the mirror and consider that you are killing yourselves and your children along with the rest of us by your tyrannical behavior, and that's exactly what it is. I understand people need jobs, but if your job involves deception that will take the whole human race and the web of life down with it, that's a job that needs to be walked away from. Find your courage. Find your courage, please. Soon, while it can still make a difference. Before breaking frontline biosphere headlines are covered, this important update on the dire dangers of vaccines. Listen carefully to this new headline report from newspunch.com and other sources. Listen carefully to this. This is the kind of lie that Google and YouTube are doing their best to hide from public view. Centers for Disease Control forced to admit they knew vaccine preservatives caused autism. From that report, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, have been forced to admit that a widely used vaccine preservative does, in fact, cause autism. The CDC has long insisted that the vaccine preservative thimerosal was not linked to autism. However, after 100 Freedom of Record Act requests, FOIA requests, the CDC has been forced to reveal the once secret documents showing that the agency knew that thimerosal caused autism but deliberately hid that evidence from the public. With help from PhD scientist and biochemist Brian Hooker, and let me stop there for a moment to state this, if there were more like Brian Hooker in the world, we would not be in this dark place. I feel very honored to know Dr. Hooker. I deeply hope others in academia consider attempting to rise to the level and example of honor and dedication to the greater good that Dr. Hooker has set. Back to the CDC. The agency has finally had to reveal that they have known for years that thimerosal, which was banned in 1999 but still used in over 60 vaccines, causes autism. Robert F. Kennedy has been trying to alert the public of the same troublesome findings that Dr. Hooker has unveiled, but he is often dismissed. CDC is a murderous agency. These alarming facts, along with the testimony of whistleblowers like Kennedy, expose the CDC as a dangerous, even murderous government agency that cannot be trusted. They have lied to scientific bodies, fixed data, and withheld important information that could have prevented an unknown number of autism cases, among other health dangers, with over 22 different medical cases that prove vaccines cause autism. And the latest documentation from Dr. Hooker that reveals that the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, has withheld so much data. Why would anyone trust this agency as a protector of the public health? As I've stated so many times on so many broadcasts, such, quote, public protection agencies are actually there not to disclose threats to the public, but to hide them for the power structure, hide them from the public. Can we escape the neurologically devastating heavy metal contamination, given the fact that toxic heavy metal nanoparticles are raining down through the air column from climate engineering fallout? Consider this new report headline. Quote, new consumer reports tests prompt warnings about heavy metals in fruit juices. From the report, quote, how did these dangerous compounds get into our juice? Question mark. Heavy metals are naturally found in the environment, not in free form, by the way. They don't mention that. But much of the heavy metals in food come from soil or water that's been contaminated through pollution, raining down through our air column. Didn't I just state that? It's in all our soils and waters. Report continues. Mining or pesticides, persistent exposure to these heavy elements, particularly early in a child's development, can have long-standing effects throughout their life. Children's respiratory systems, neurological systems, and immune systems are all developing. So heavy metal exposure at an early age can have very profound effects. Not only are these heavy metals, starting with aluminum, in our vaccines, it's in our air, it's in our waters, it's being uptaken in everything. And we know this. We have lab tests from all over the globe. We know massive amounts of heavy metals, starting with aluminum, are raining down through our air column, killing everything from insects to us. That's the fact of the matter. From CNN and other major media sources, this new headline report that sensationalizes the effects of the ongoing winter weather warfare being waged on the most populated portions of the U.S. by the climate engineers. 75% of the U.S. will suffer below freezing temperatures this week. Is that so unusual in the middle of winter? But they hype all this up. Read between the lines. This headline is really not so astounding, but listen to more of these scripted narratives. Quote, absurdly cold weather is about to grip much of the U.S., trapping millions of Americans in sub-zero temperatures and bringing, quote, dangerous to impossible travel conditions. Follow me through with all this data right now, and we'll get to conclusions. The, quote, wicked cold, another narrative. You hear in all of these programs, they're repeating the same talking points over and over. The wicked cold has already turned deadly in Iowa, where a 13-year-old boy was found dead, Marshalltown police said. And let me stop there. Though my deepest sympathy goes out to the family of this boy, how many tens of thousands are dying of record-shattering heat around the globe, even right now in the Southern Hemisphere? More on that later in this broadcast. But the bottom line, with the power structure-controlled corporate media, their job is to sensationalize the engineered winter weather. And in doing so, they fuel the continued confusion and division of the U.S. population in regard to the true state of the climate and the unfolding global meltdown, aka climate collapse. Final excerpts from this CNN sensationalized report states this: some states could suffer the coldest air in a generation. The National Weather Service said about 220 million people, or again, 75% of the continental U.S., will endure below freezing temperatures. Again, is that last part of the headline so astounding? Not really. It is the middle of winter. Another sensationalized CNN headline: extreme weather is so bad in some parts of the country, even the U.S. Postal Service won't be going out. Let me stop there again to clarify before I get on with some of this data, but this cold layer, I'm not saying it's not cold in that cold layer, I know it's cold, but that's a very shallow layer of cold created by chemical ice nucleation of available atmospheric moisture. I'll get to more details on that in a few moments. But just because it's so direly cold at the surface in a very small geographic region, in comparison with the whole world, the eastern half of the lower 48 is only 1/200th of the planet. That's not a snapshot of the whole world. Let me continue. Another sensationalized headline from CNN. Frost quakes may rattle Chicago as deadly U.S. weather gets a frigid finale. And this headline from multiple mainstream sources. The frigid polar vortex cold snap engulfing the U.S. is so bad it can give people frostbite in 5 minutes. On and on and on these headlines go. We don't hear them talking about anything in the rest of the world that is completely the polar opposite of the engineered cool down in the U.S. And by the way, if you want to know more about the engineered cool downs, go to geoengineeringwatch.org. On the top toolbar, search engineering winter. Find out more. Another headline from the Washington Post, this parallel headline: polar vortex grips the Midwest in deep and dangerous freeze. The same talking point mantras you hear on station after station after station. From CBS News, this hyped headline: it's official. Chicago is colder than parts of the Arctic, Yukon, and Mars. Shouldn't that headline give pause? Something's really wrong with that, isn't it? If that's the case, and I'm not saying temperatures didn't dip that low, they did, but it's a very shallow surface layer. If you walked into your freezer and turned it on max cold with your thermometer, does that give you an indication of the rest of the world? No. If you're under an engineered winter scenario with chemical ice nucleating elements that create a cold, dense layer of cool, cool air on the surface, is that an indicator of the rest of the world or the true state of the world? No. Moving on. From the National Center for Atmospheric Research, this new headline report that is simply covert power structure programming to condition populations into accepting the ongoing climate engineering weather warfare assault. Here's the headline. Major northeastern snowstorms expected to continue with climate change. From that report, even though climate change is expected to reduce the total amount of U.S. snowfall this century, it's unlikely to significantly rein in the most powerful nor'easters that pummel the East Coast, new research indicates. Question: how in the world would these so-called climate scientists know that no matter how hot the rest of the world is, the extremely anomalous cool downs on the East Coast will magically continue? Again, how can they know? Because they're reading a script provided to them by the power structure controlled climate engineering cabal with private defense contractors like Raytheon at the top. Raytheon, who does all the weather modeling for the National Weather Service, and NOAA, the agencies that have illegal federal gag orders on all their employees. Let's consider this new report of unprecedented weather whiplash from theweathernetwork.com. Cherry blossoms bloom in BC while the rest of Canada freezes. Freeze-fry scenarios happening around the globe. Radical weather whiplash scenarios happening because climate engineering is tearing the climate system apart. And this is not to deny all sources of human damage to the climate. There are countless sources of human damage. It's unfortunate that many still choose to deny that. And that's not really rational, is it, to deny that? Any form of human activity that affects the energy balance and the equilibrium of the planet is a form of geoengineering. We can't just pick one and say that's the only one. That doesn't make sense. Climate engineering is the first priority we should focus on, but all forms of human activity that damage the planet are forms of geoengineering. And I fully realize the engineering term gives far too much dignity to the all-out planetary destruction that's being waged. And we must admit, though, on every front, we have been very, very poor stewards of our planet. There's no arguing that, not rationally. As I've stated before, anyone that monitors multiple mainstream media sources should be able to recognize the completely scripted narratives of the mainstream media actors who are doing their, again, absolute best to sensationalize the engineered cool-down scenarios. Then there's the acting from the current occupant of the White House, who is also playing his part in the psychological aspect of the engineered cooldowns in the U.S. Here's a tweet from the current occupant of the White House. In the beautiful Midwest, wind chill temperatures are reaching minus 60 degrees, the coldest ever recorded. In coming days, expect to get even colder. People can't last outside, even for minutes. What the hell is going on with global warming? Please come back fast. We need you. I don't even have the words for such an imbecilic, arrogant statement that's designed simply to fuel the confusion and division of the population. Puppets in the White House, one after another after another, each a different type of actor to polarize a different part of society, but all simply power structure actors in the play. And all the while, our planet continues to implode. Let's consider the hypocrisy and half-truth coming from the so-called environmental news sites. Here's a new headline report from truthout.org. Quote, we are destroying our life support system. Commentary on that title. Though the conclusion of this headline from truthout.org is certainly accurate, what is it that this site and so many other environmental sites like it always leave out of the equation? What do they always completely omit from any of their reporting? They omit the single greatest environmentally destructive element of all, global climate engineering operations. The total hypocrisy from the vast majority of so-called environmental sites, sources, and groups is immense and truly perplexing. Please tell the whole truth. If you don't tell the whole truth, you're telling something other than the truth. To be clear, the engineered cooldowns are a form of weather warfare. Just like the droughted out regions, record deluge regions, epic wildfire regions, all are completely connected to climate engineering. And again, this is not to say that there would be no weather disasters without climate engineering. I'm not saying that. I've never stated that. What I am stating, again, is this. All available data makes clear the conclusion that the entire global weather and climate system has been completely disrupted by the unimaginably massive climate engineering insanity. Thus, no weather can be considered natural at this point. None. Again, search the top toolbar on the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage for much more detailed and documented data on engineering winter, engineering wildfires, engineering droughts, and more. The planet's climate and life support systems have been, as I stated, completely disrupted. On that note, consider this new headline report from multiple sources. Water, not temperature, limits global forest growth as climate warms. There is also, on top of that headline about water, there is the increasingly destructive and deadly UV radiation to consider in regard to the dying forests. For the record, the single greatest factor related to the destruction of the ozone layer, which is causing the deadly UV radiation to reach us, is, again, climate engineering. None of that mentioned by the so-called academic and environmental sites. Not mentioning it yet. How long can they hide it? A primary component of the ongoing climate engineering operations is the saturation of the atmosphere with tens of millions of tons of highly toxic heavy metal and chemical polymer nanoparticles. All of these materials are constantly raining down through our breathable air column to Earth's surface, where the materials are then inhaled and absorbed by each and every one of us and the entire web of life. Regarding what geoengineering has done to the planet's ability to respond to the damage done, in the case of the forests, by cutting off the hydrological cycle, the rain that does fall is toxic, poisoning root systems, killing soil microbes. The deadly UV is frying the trees from the top down. We have many, many more dry lightning strikes now because the atmosphere has been ionized by these electrically conductive heavy metal particles. From every conceivable direction, climate engineering is derailing and decimating Earth's ability to respond to what's occurring. And as I've stated so many times and will continue to argue till my last breath, if we do not stop climate engineering, if we do not allow the planet to respond on its own, we have no chance, mathematically, none. If we could expose and stop climate engineering, we would buy some time. And with that time, we would need to address the rest of the human assault on the planet from every conceivable direction. It's impossible to comprehend what poor stewards we've been of this planet. One can't really truly get their arms around it. We've, in the geologic blink of an eye, destroyed a thriving planet. And we are, again, careening to the bottom of the canyon with near-term planetary omnicide being right in front of us at this point. With all of that in mind, let me cover another headline of climate engineering cover-up from cleantechnica.com and other sources. Here's the headline. Meeting the goals of the Paris Agreement could save a million lives per year. The report states this. The severity and impact of climate change on health is increasingly clear. Exposure to air pollution causes 7 million deaths worldwide every year and costs an estimated $5.11 trillion in welfare losses globally. Quote, the true cost of climate change is felt in our hospitals and in our lungs. The health burden of polluting energy sources is now incredibly high. Let's stop there. What's missing, again, from this so-called science report? No mention whatsoever of the single greatest source of highly toxic atmospheric particulates, climate engineering. Climate engineers with the stated goal of putting 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually, every single year. No mention of it whatsoever, again and again and again. Academia and the so-called journalists that report on academia, all of them betraying the human race and the entire web of life by their total omission of the single greatest threat we collectively face, the climate engineering assault. When will that change? And it's up to us, the public, the population, to sound the alarm, to circulate credible data, to wake the masses until people take to the streets peacefully, but take to the streets. Stop participating in the insanity and hold all those that are helping to hide this incredibly grave threat. Hold them to account. Hold them to account legally and morally. Question, how much longer will academia and media sources betray the human race and the entire web of life, again, by their total omission of the climate engineering assault? Climate engineering is not just weather warfare. As I stated, the highly toxic fallout makes it a form of biological warfare. It's important to always remember and consider that the fight to expose and halt climate engineering is nothing short of a fight for life. Moving on, what's the global picture? What's the overall global temperature scenario? First, here's an update on the not-so-wintry West Coast. Until recently, 75-degree days that feel very hot if you're standing in the direct searing sunlight. That's what's been normal on the West Coast. I haven't had a single freeze where I live on the east side of Lake Shasta all so-called winter long, not one. I realize a few places in Redding have probably had a freeze because it's a low-lying area, cold, dense air sinks, as I described earlier. Not one freeze where I live, not one. So why are trees fully foliated with stone-dead leaves that hang on the trees all winter long, and some trees already starting to leaf and flower again? These leaves did not die on the tree from nature. Nature does not do that. Nature's abscission hormone, if it's cold enough, releases the leaf, it falls to the ground where it deteriorates. No more. We have fully foliated trees with stone dead leaves in sheltered locations where the wind hasn't blown them off yet. I've done reports on this. This is not nature. A defoliant is being used in the fall to create the appearance of a change of season because it's not getting cold enough. And we know these chemicals exist. We're testing for them now. What's that doing to us on top of everything else I've already described? The climate engineering-induced freeze-fry scenarios will continue to worsen. I covered this in a recent article titled Geoengineered Winter 2019. It's on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent and top stories sections. Learn more. There are many, many links within that article to lots of data on this issue. Major component of climate engineering operations, the engineered winter scenarios, and perplexingly, many who think they're fighting to expose climate engineering are completely denying the engineered winter aspect of climate engineering. And by denying it and pretending these engineered events are somehow just nature, that's actually exactly the narrative the power structure wants the public to parrot. That's very unfortunate. If you're fighting climate engineering, please examine the entire equation. Understand this major aspect of climate engineering, engineering winter. Massive spraying can often be seen over lower level clouds when there's any break in the clouds. When do we see blue sky anymore? Almost never. When will anyone notice the hazy, dirty, filthy air that we all get to breathe now from this massive amount of particulates raining down through the air column? And the tyrants flying these aircraft and participating in these operations, I have no words for you. And I can only hope and pray that as we bring this issue to light, that every single one of you will be held legally and morally accountable, because it's not good enough to say you were just following orders. It's not good enough to say you were told you were doing this for the greater good. That won't save you in Nuremberg-type trials, and I hope and pray we get to that point soon, because that's where every single one of you belongs. And we're doing everything we can at geoengineeringwatch.org, including working on very important atmospheric testing. Any academicians that want to help us with that, please contact us. Please contact us. We can keep your anonymity. We can even compensate you for your assistance. But we need you to contact us. We need all the help we can get. Time is not on our side. Moving on, from Bloomberg and other sources, this recent report. Pentagon warns of dire risk to bases and troops from climate change. From that report, effects of a changing climate are a national security issue, end quote. The report to Congress is at odds with the president's position. The president rejected the findings when they were first released, stating that, on the record, quote, I don't believe it, end quote. Continuing with the Bloomberg report, the U.S. Defense Department has issued a dire report on how climate change could affect the nation's armed forces and security, warning that rising seas could inundate coastal bases. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. If the ocean rises, how could it not inundate coastal bases? It already is. Could, may, might. We're back to the if you leap in front of a speeding semi, you could, may, might get hurt. This is so ridiculous, the society we live in. It's an Orwellian nightmare. The report continues. Could inundate coastal bases, and drought-fueled wildfires could endanger those that are inland. A circus of absurdity. And again, with the fires, climate engineering absolutely, positively the core causal factor for the global epic wildfires, period, end of story. And that is not a denial of anthropogenic climate change, not at all. But let's stop, remember, and consider that it must rain more on a warming planet, not less. The atmosphere holds 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. The only reason it's not raining more is because of climate engineering. Look it up. Research it. Engineering Droughts, homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Question, does any rational individual believe that the U.S. military or other militaries would ask the public's permission before intervening in the climate for their own interests? Just for the record, please listen carefully to this 30-second historical recording of former U.S. President Lyndon Johnson in 1962. While raving like a lunatic, President Johnson said this.
It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
If that rant from 57 years ago from a former U.S. president does not alarm you, it should. Consider and remember this, the power structure and their insane quest for total control has continued to worsen and metastasize to this day. It is more dangerous now than ever before. Moving on from Pacific Standard Magazine, psmag.com, this new report, yet more confirmation of the road we are all on. Here's the headline. Are we headed toward the worst-case climate scenario? From that report, a series of recent studies and reports suggest that without immediate and drastic action, the worst-case climate scenario will become the rule rather than the exception. From the science site PhysOrg and other sites, this new headline report that amounts to yet more climate engineering cover-up. Quote, space technology predicts droughts several months in advance. From that report, scientists from the Australian National University have used new space technology to predict droughts and increased brush fire risk up to 5 months in advance. That's not a prediction. They're reading a script from the climate engineers. That's exactly what's going on. From National Geographic and other sources, this new headline report that is a very important piece to the puzzle in regard to the agendas of the most powerful empire in human history. Drought turns part of Iran into a new dust bowl. In this corner of the Middle East, a changing climate and debilitating dust storms have brought life to a standstill. Iran, the target. Drought, one of the primary aspects of climate engineering, easily induced. The American empire and the military-industrial complex that serves it has used drought as a lethal weapon of war in country after country around the globe without those countries ever even knowing they were at war. Listen carefully to this short audio excerpt from National Security Advisor John Bolton, someone who should be in prison for war crimes. Listen carefully.
The declared policy of the United States of America should be the overthrow of the Mullah's regime in Tehran. The behavior and the objectives of the regime are not going to change, and therefore the only solution is to change the regime itself. And that's why before 2019, we here will celebrate in Tehran. Thank you very much.
These dots are not hard to connect for those that are willing to face the truth. Drought killing countless innocent civilians in countless countries, Iran the latest to be in the crosshairs of the empire, with the National Security Advisor stating on the record his agenda, his goals. This has always gone on. The record of John Bolton is so extensive, he should have been put in prison for war crimes again decades ago. And yet it goes on and on and on because most don't seem to care what's being done in their name. Moving on. This recent headline report from multiple sources, the United States is the most corrupt country in the world. From that report, the United States fell to a ranking of only 22 in Transparency International's list of countries by corruption. Stop, remember, and consider, the larger and more powerful the country, the deeper the corruption goes. Why would that be hard to figure out? On that note, for the record, the current administration is doing their best to make it much more difficult to get Freedom of Information Act requests responses. Is that a sign of transparency? Don't think so. Venezuela, the saga goes on. Another country that is being destabilized by the alphabet agencies of the U.S. Why? Resources. That's why. And Venezuela, again, largest global oil reserves of all, amongst other resources, many resources in that country. That's why they are on the hit list. Same with Iran. Not hard to figure this out. From the news site AAWSAT.com and other sources, this new headline report: Iran announces offensive strategy against threats. Why wouldn't they? Chief of Staff of the Iranian Armed Forces, Major General Mohammad Bagheri, announced Sunday that Iran would change its defensive strategy to defend its national interests. He stressed that his country will not remain idle against any threat, denying any ambitions to impose hegemony on interests and territories of other countries. Which country is doing that? Which country is in everybody else's backyard or in their country with their bases? The United States military. It's not about freedom and democracy. It's about furthering the interests of the empire. It's about resources. The report continues. Speaking to reporters, the Iranian general said Iran has no intention of attacking any country, stressing that, quote, our defense strategy is to protect the independence and territorial integrity of the national interests of our country. Question: is Iran really a threat to the U.S.? Is it really a threat to Israel? Here's a historical fact to consider. I've made mention of this fact many times on air, but it needs to be said again. Iran has not invaded another country for well over 200 years. Another fact: in the last 100 years, the U.S., on the other hand, has invaded and destabilized and or occupied nearly 100 countries. Question again: who's actually the aggressive and dangerous country? Did Iran break the nuclear treaty with the U.S.? No, the other way around. Did Iran impose deadly sanctions on the U.S.? No, the other way around. Does the U.S. government routinely lie and create false flag events and scenarios in order to justify catastrophic and illegal military aggression? Does anyone remember the Vietnam War, justified by the Gulf of Tonkin false flag event that was orchestrated by our own criminal government, which is, by the way, indisputed historical fact? How many stop to remember the Iraq weapons of mass destruction that never existed? How about the false flag events of 9/11, which were never legitimately investigated and which were used as a premise for all-out U.S. military aggression in the Middle East? How many know about the Stuxnet computer virus that the U.S. and Israel unleashed on Iran? How many know that the same computer virus likely prevented the Fukushima nuclear plant safety backup equipment from working? I would go on and on and on with this theme, but again, here's the question. Who, which nations are the proven aggressors, even against their own population, as was the case again with 9/11, and is the case with the toxic, even deadly vaccinations, fluoridated water, chemically poisoned foods, and perhaps ultimately the most deadly and destructive of all, highly toxic and decimating weather warfare operations? On that note, let's take a moment to recall this headline that brought desperately needed focus to weather warfare being waged on Iran by completely out of control empire nations. First, let's backtrack to this 2011 headline report from multiple mainstream sources. Iran's president says Europe is stealing Iran's rain. The Iranian president has accused Western countries of plotting to cause drought in Iran by using high-tech equipment to decimate clouds. Another headline: Iran VP. This is from 2012. Iran vice president claims country's drought is part of West's weather war. It goes on and on. Recently, we had the Iranian military stating the same thing on the record. They know what's happening in their own skies. Geoengineering is a weapon of war that's being used to wreak havoc around the globe. How are conditions in the land down under? Let's go to the other side of the world. This new headline from news.com.au, Australia, and other sources: Sydney suffers hottest day of summer so far, while Queensland braces for the worst flooding ever experienced. Very parallel to the freeze-fry scenarios taking place in the U.S. and elsewhere, massively powerful microwave transmitters like HARP are used to manipulate upper-level wind currents, which in turn dictates who gets rain and who doesn't. On that note, here's the next headline from Australia. From ABC News Australia, this report that should be carefully considered. Here's the headline: the stubborn high-pressure system behind Australia's record heat waves. In that report, if you think the weather this month has been like Groundhog Day, albeit much hotter, the report states, you're probably right. Much like a stuck record, weather systems seem to have stalled over most of the country, just like the, quote, ridiculously resilient ridge of high pressure over the U.S. West Coast that cuts off our precipitation year after year after year. Ionosphere heater-induced domes of high pressure that are part of the climate engineering operations. Another headline from cqnews.com.au. This new report of yet another massive fish kill in Australia. Another. This is the third. Australia is a country that continues to fry in record-shattering high temperatures in many regions and drown under deluges in other regions of the country. Australia is a country that has already seen its Great Barrier Reef die from superheating seas, a country that has already lost most of its massive kelp forest ecosystems, far larger habitats than the Barrier Reef. The kelp forest die-off is also a result of superheating seas. Back to the most recent mass die-off in the land down under, here's the report headline. Disaster. Another mass fish kill under investigation. Report states a drop in temperatures and some rain is likely behind another mass fish kill reported along the Darling River in far western New South Wales, the state government says. Stop there. A drop in temperatures and some rain is likely behind the mass fish kill? Really? I wonder what was seeded into that rain. Does anybody stop to consider that? Chemical ice nucleating elements. The cool down. More on collapsing fish stocks and societal desperation. Consider this new headline from the UK Guardian. UK fish and chip shops are selling endangered sharks. DNA tests prove. That's desperation. The oceans are collapsing. Fish stocks are collapsing. Mass starvation approaches from many fronts. As I've stated so many times, as the biosphere collapses, the desperation of power structures will go exponential. That's happening now. In fact, on that note, let me double back again to what's happening in Venezuela right now. Let me play a short audio excerpt that makes crystal clear what the motive is behind the U.S. intervention in Venezuela. Just the latest on an endless list of countries around the world that have been brutalized, looted, plundered, and pillaged by the out-of-control empire. Listen carefully.
Yeah, well, we're in conversation with major American companies now that are either in Venezuela or in the case of Citgo here in the United States. I think we're trying to get to the same end result here. You know, Venezuela is one of the three countries I call the troika of tyranny. It'll make a big difference to the United States economically if we could have American oil companies really invest in and produce the oil capabilities in Venezuela. It'd be good for the people of Venezuela. It'd be good for the people of the United States. We both have a lot at stake here making this come out the right way.
There you have it. National Security Advisor John Bolton, Iran, Venezuela, and the completely out of control and completely desperate U.S. empire that is willing to take down any country, to loot, plunder, and pillage the resources of any country in order to try to sustain itself until the brutal, bitter end. That's the truth of the matter. On that note, for the record, the U.S. military-industrial complex is again producing nuclear weapons. They are already rolling off production lines now. Please don't believe me. Please don't believe anything I state. Please look it up. More nuclear weapons, exactly what we need on a planet that's imploding around us anyway. Total insanity. That's what's running the world at this point. Complete insanity, and most of the population, unfortunately, not yet willing to rise to the occasion to help turn the tide. That must change. In summary, consider this new and painfully on-target report from Chris Hedges. Chris Hedges spent nearly two decades as a foreign correspondent in Central America, the Middle East, Africa, and the Balkans. He has reported from more than 50 countries and has worked for the Christian Science Monitor, National Public Radio, the Dallas Morning News, and the New York Times, for which he was a foreign correspondent for 15 years. This is posted on numerous sites. The title is The World to Come. The ruling elites are painfully aware that the foundations of American power are rotting. The hollowing out of the pillars of the state, including the diplomatic corps and the regulatory agencies, leaves the blunt force of the military as the only response to foreign disputes and fuels endless and futile foreign wars. Just as ominous as the visible rot is the decay. Among all societal classes, there is a loss of faith in the government, widespread frustration, a sense of stagnation, entrapment, bitterness over the unfulfilled expectations and promises, and a merging of fact and fiction so that civil and political discourse is no longer rooted in reality. The nation's isolation by its traditional allies and its inability, especially in the face of unfolding environmental catastrophe, to articulate rational and visionary policies have shattered the mystique that is vital to power. Quote, a society becomes totalitarian when its structure becomes flagrantly artificial. George Orwell wrote that and this, quote, that is when its ruling class has lost its function but succeeds in clinging to power by force or fraud, end quote. Our elites have exhausted fraud. Force is all they have left. Those were only a few excerpts from the report. I encourage all to read the full Chris Hedges report and try to understand the severity of what we face. The horizon does look dim indeed. I'm almost out of time in this broadcast, but in closing, may I take the liberty to share a personal experience, and it may not mean much to most, but for me, it meant more than I can ever fully express. In a world gone mad, even seemingly small miracles can keep the flickering flame of hope alive. Several years ago, my beautiful children decided that they wanted pet ducks. I obliged them. I built what I thought to be a solid and safe home for the ducks. It was surrounded with new heavy wire fowl fencing, also with a roof to keep flying predators out. The whole duck dwelling was even located behind a secondary fence for further security. I so bonded with those ducks, each with their own name, six miraculous quacking feathered friends. On my most stressful days, my therapy was to sit with them. They would stand on my legs. Sometimes they would sleep next to me, their heads often resting on my arms or my legs. On what was to be the most agonizing night I can remember in my life, an instinctually driven, very powerful Rottweiler dog managed to get past the outer fence. And then this dog proceeded to tear holes in the foul fencing with her bleeding mouth. My alarmed and anguished daughter woke me at midnight. She had also been awakened from what was unfolding in our backyard. I sprinted from my bed to the duck's home, but I was too late. My feathered friends, my therapists, were all dead, lying still and lifeless in what I thought was a safe place for them. I can't express what I felt that night, all night. I felt I had somehow let them down, and my children. I buried these beloved ducks in our garden. During the late night hours, I sat in the dark. I cried. But I could not give up. There had to be something that could be salvaged from the ashes. The eggs. I knew the odds of any fertilized eggs being present was small because we had recently kept the male ducks divided from the female ducks. I had not gathered the eggs for a long while, and I had no idea how to care for the eggs or if there was even anything in any of them. No female ducks had been sitting on any nests, but I had to try. I gathered 39 eggs that night. I set them carefully on a soft lined container. The next day, I went to the farm supply store and I bought an incubator. I and my children read all the instructions. We watched and tried to care for these eggs each and every day, meticulously, for the next 28 days. Which is the normal hatching period, if there was any life present. We rotated them. We did all we could. Nothing. On the 28th day, nothing. The 29th day came, nothing. The 30th day, the 31st day, then the 32nd day. All sources and sites said that there was no hope after this point. While my children were gone at school, I went with a heavy heart to dispose of these eggs. Reaching to gather them out of the incubator, I saw something on one single egg. A tiny part of the shell, the size of a pinhead, was disturbed. In that moment, a surge of hope erupted inside me. I grabbed a small knife. I flicked off a tiny piece of broken shell. With extreme care, I poked a tiny hole in the egg membrane, and then, against all odds, against all hope, a very faint chirping could be heard from within this egg. I can't express the upwelling I felt that we are not alone. For me, a miracle had just occurred, one I will never forget, ever. And that miracle lives to this day. My overjoyed children named this miracle Bucky. No matter how dark the horizon, No matter how much the odds are against us, we must never give up, ever. And if we stand together, we can yet make a difference, even at this late hour. Waking populations to what is unfolding is the first and most important critical leap forward. Share credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. This is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org. Until next week.